welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Stephanie Domingo.
I'm Tux Lerzel.
We be drinking and we be swearing.
We sure do.
Yes. We come to you from Bushwick, Brooklyn, where we record on land belonging to the Lenape Nation, a nation that is still one of many very much out there doing their thing, and we'd like to acknowledge that. This is a show where we talk about whatever we want, because we don't have a format no mo, for minis, at least. Formats have been canceled.
Yes. I love a mini without a format.
Right? It's a better way.
Yes.
So on this minisode, we are talking anti-Asian racism.
Sure are, yeah.
Yes. So Trump wasn't the first to make a boogeyman out of the Asian community. He just magnified racism that was already very much deeply embedded in our culture. We cannot talk about Young's Asian massage without first talking about all of the Asian massacres and acts of violence that preceded it. So in 1853, we had People v. Hall, which no one has heard of.
Yeah, I was just going
to say. So all these things I'm about to talk about, I learned in my research, because we don't learn about this in schools.
Yeah.
So People v. Hall was a California Supreme Court case that ruled people of Asian descent cannot testify against white people in court. Yeah, this guaranteed that white people could escape all punishment, regardless of the severity, against Asian people. And it laid the foundation of everything that's going to come next.
I just don't understand how that's not true. I understand very well why mm-hmm. they did this. But
yes.
Like, who was like, that's fair. That's a great idea. Like, this is the best way to set up a court to be fair. And
like, to answer that question, all of the West Coast.
Yeah.
So in 1871, we had what is known as the Chinese Massacre. A white man was killed in the crossfire between a rival Chinese group in the Chinatown in L.A. So a mob of 500 white men just decided to attack them. They attacked this very small community, and in the end, 17 Chinese men and some small boys were lynched indiscriminately.
Oh my God.
No one was punished. In 1877, we had the San Francisco race riots, which started out as a labor strike for about 6.5 minutes before it turned into an anti-Asian violent mob. Mm. They were mad at the Chinese laborers for what they saw as undercutting their wages, the white workers. Mm-hmm. So instead of taking it up with management or the owners of these businesses, they decided to do racism.
It's not their fault that the owners of these businesses don't want to pay them for their work.
Exactly. So after 3 days, they were fighting for 3 days, there were 4 deaths, and they destroyed more than $100,000 worth of property damage, Chinese property damage. No one was punished. In 1885, we have the Tacoma race riots, which is a scandal that I plan to do next season. It's been on my list since I did Wong Kim Ark. So I'm not going to say too much about it other than it provided a model of how to forcefully remove Chinese people from towns.
Good Lord.
It was known as the Tacoma Method. So lives were lost. I'm not going to go into it. And no one was prosecuted. That's all you need to know. That same year, we had the Rock Spring Massacre, when a mob of 100 white men, vigilantes, they surrounded and attacked Chinese miners. They killed 28 Chinese people and burned 79 homes. No one was prosecuted.
Oh, I'm sensing a theme here.
Yes. In 1887, we had the Hell's Canyon Massacre, when 34 Chinese gold miners were killed and their gold was seized by white men. No one was prosecuted.
Uh-huh.
In 1906, and this is very reminiscent of what is happening now, in 1906, there was an event called the Santa Ana Chinatown Fire. So the city of Santa Ana decided that they were going to burn down Chinatown because one man was suspected of having leprosy. So they put the whole town into quarantine. They put this man in a tent and they burned down Chinatown.
Good Lord.
So these people were left homeless. Nothing was provided for them after this fact. And not only that, the day of the fire, the whole town gathered. They brought their families out because it was like a picnic atmosphere.
To watch.
Businessmen, local leaders were giving speeches. It was like the 4th of July. They had gotten what they wanted. And all it took was one sick Chinese man.
Mm-hmm.
In 1930, we had the Watsonville riots, when hundreds of white men roamed the city and surrounding farm area, attacking Filipino farm workers because they had heard that there were Filipino men dancing with white women at a new dance club that had opened up. That's all that it took. It's like racist footloose. So for 5 days, no one died, but like a lot of property was damaged and people were threatened and beaten. In 1979, there was what's known as the Seadrift, Texas KKK boat burning, which sounds like what you think it is. Mm-hmm. There was a dispute between white fishermen and Vietnamese fishermen in this small Texas town. And they were arguing about like fishing territory. The white fishermen said that the Vietnamese were working too hard. They were working around the clock. It wasn't fair what they were doing. Tensions boiled over and a white crabber was killed by two Vietnamese men.
Okay.
So these Vietnamese men, they were charged with murder, but they were acquitted because it was self-defense. And that's when the KKK got involved.
Sure.
And did their thing and burned a bunch of boats and chased all of the Vietnamese out of this town. In 1982, so we're getting into more recent times, we had the Vincent Chin murder. Have you heard about this one?
Okay. 1982.
This is one that came up in my research prior. So a 29-year-old Chinese man living and working in Detroit was celebrating his engagement with some friends at a bar. And he gets into a fight with two white men who lure him outside and beat him with baseball bats. He dies later of his, days later of his injuries. And according to these white murderers, it was Chin's fault that the Japanese were taking their auto industry jobs.
Are you fucking kidding
me? He was Chinese.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter, but it's like racism.
Yeah.
So, and this is the last thing that I'm going to mention. And this is just a small sliver of the historical violences that have been perpetrated against the Asian American community here. And I think this one is just despicable. So in 1997, we had another murder of, I hope I'm not butchering this, but Quan Chung Cao. He was a 33-year-old Chinese engineer, just living his life in Texas. He was executed by the police. Within 34 seconds of them arriving at his house, he was shot and killed. He was killed for carrying a stick.
What?
Yes. The officer who murdered him reverse engineered a defense for his racism, saying that Cal was waving a stick in a, get this, threatening martial arts fashion.
Oh my fucking God.
A warrant the next day, because they needed to find evidence now for this lie that they just made up. They were looking for, you know, training manuals and like weapons. They found nothing. He didn't know martial arts. He was just an Asian man living his life. And the worst thing about this is that after he was shot, he was handcuffed. And his wife was prevented from giving him life-giving CPR. She was a registered nurse. She just had to watch him die. And the cop, ooh, I can like hear my heart beating right now. The cop who executed him didn't lose his job, not reprimanded at all. Eventually, he moved from California to Texas. He became mayor.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. These are just, again, a tiny sliver of historical instances of just really terrible racist violence. But I think these stories are really important to know when thinking about the massacre that just happened in Atlanta.
So have you ever thought about what would happen if your airline window popped out?
Or if you can build a jetpack using only machine guns.
Well, we found out you could, but you really shouldn't. Hi, I'm Jill Chacha.
And I'm Marissa Riley.
Together, we have one comedy science-y show called, well, that's interesting.
It's for folks who like to learn about weird stuff, like how hair can grow between your teeth and what happens if the moon disappears.
If you need a break from the world or need interesting stuff to bring up at a party when those happen again, come on by.
Find Well That's Interesting wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yeah, I think it's important to know these stories. It's important to realize that there's this sort of like model minority myth that Americans like to use as a way to point and say like, look, see, racism doesn't exist because we have a hierarchy of different races.
Right?
And in this race is the good one. So racism is fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah. When in reality, bullshit doesn't even begin to describe.
it's self-serving and it reinforces white supremacy.
Exactly. Yeah. Anytime you watch the news, you log onto social media, anyone with eyes and ears can see that there has been a huge increase in hate crimes and hate speech and violence against Asian people in America and our Asian communities.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of violent attacks, especially against elderly Asian Americans and Asian people. And it's troubling doesn't even begin to describe. I'm having such a hard time finding the words to describe the way I feel about everything that's been happening lately. And there are not sufficient words to describe these feelings. it's infuriating.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. But as you said, this has been the way it's been in this country for centuries.
Yeah.
It's really easy to look at someone like Trump and think that the blame lies with him. And he certainly hasn't made anything better. He's really good at branding. And he's been using the same terms and the same racist rhetoric and pushing the same narrative and stereotypes and blaming an entire race of people for a virus for over a year now. So it's no surprise that every time he says these things, there is an uptick in violence. But that doesn't mean that it just sprang up out of nowhere because he created it. It's lazy. It's irresponsible to say that this came from Trump. Plenty of other politicians are also using this inflammatory racist rhetoric. But even the supposedly progressive, like liberal media that conservatives love to scream is biased against conservatives, they use this language too.
It's despicable.
Yeah. They're using language that promotes this idea that Asian people are foreign, they're different from us. It's dehumanizing. Mm-hmm. And they also love to push subject matter that furthers stereotypes and focuses on cultural differences between Asian communities and Americans. And it really reinforces this idea that they're not us. Mm-hmm. They're separate. But this is not just an American problem. This is a global problem. In May of 2020, the UN Secretary General said, "The pandemic continues to unleash a tsunami of hate and xenophobia, scapegoating, and scaremongering." And he urged the governments of the world to act now to strengthen the immunity of our societies against the virus of hate. Of course, nobody took that to heart.
Boo.
Nobody said anything. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Shut up. Yeah. Ugh, and since then, it's just gotten worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, I read somewhere there was a report that found, at least in the U.S., there was a rise, 150% increase.
150%.
Yeah.
And in the U.K., the police have reported a 300% increase in hate crimes against Asian people.
What?
In the U.K.
Oh.
So I have a feeling that we're just underreporting.
Yeah.
But also,
wow.
First generation immigrants tend to underreport crimes against them. So I think that it might not just be the police underreporting. It's that the people who are victims of crime are not reporting these crimes, too.
I mean, every Asian person I know has dealt with some sort of anti-Asian racism since the pandemic started.
Yeah.
And not just one time.
And, you know, I've already said this, but the media is also at fault. But also because they can't find a way to condemn racism.
No.
They just can't seem to find it in their hearts to use a strong word against a known racist. They never use the word racist. Everything is always racially motivated or
might be racist.
Yeah, exactly.
Some say is racist. Like some say
this monster who murdered these people in Atlanta, he posted anti-Asian hate on his social media, and these posts were still up the day he committed these hate crimes. And the media, the fucking New York Times says, "Oh, this attack may have been racially motivated." Like, bitch, we have eyes. We can see what's happening in front
of us.
It's
so crazy that we're still bullshitting in 2021.
I know. This is serious. Language has meaning. Words matter.
Yeah.
There's consequences for not calling out racism and not calling out white supremacy and not calling out hate crimes. It's overwhelming. I can't imagine what people are going through. The families of the victims are going through. And the bottom line is we need to do better. We can all do better. The media needs to do better, but we personally can do better. We need to find a way to hold ourselves accountable and recognize bias within ourselves when we see it. And, you know, it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to, you know, if you've said something or done something, you know that it's wrong. And it's okay to, like, have made a mistake as long as you realize that was fucked up and I'm not going to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
We need to do a better job of coming out vocally and visibly against hate in our lives and put it out there so that our friends and our family and our neighbors and community can see that we're not going to take it. We're not going to put up with it and it's not okay.
Yeah, we're not going to ignore it.
Yeah. And we need to call out hate when we see it coming on social media or coming out of the mouths of your family, your friends.
Yeah. Silence is violence.
Yeah.
It is.
Shut it down.
Yeah. If you say nothing, then you contribute to an atmosphere that allows someone to go into a place and shoot a bunch of people.
Yeah,
knowing exactly. that no one's going to say shit.
Yeah, letting it slide makes you complicit that they think that that's okay because mm-hmm. nobody stopped it.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, this is a tangent, but the right, they're so obsessed with a race war. Yeah. Like, we're going to start a race war. Bitch, there's always been a race war. It yeah. has never stopped. It is very one-sided. And, like, you don't have to carry a gun to be part of the war. Maybe you're just going to trigger a bunch of people. You're going to carry a Confederate flag. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're going to wear a shitty shirt that says something racist to make people feel unsafe. Like, maybe you're going to just, I don't know, like comments quietly to yourself, like on social media, or you're just not going to say anything. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a part of this race war, whether you know you're in it or not.
Yeah.
And I think people need to choose a side.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen so many things online and on social media about like what black people can do to be better allies to Asians. But what the fuck are white people doing?
Yeah.
I don't want to make it just like...
I really hate the term ally, but yeah, that's my own shit.
White people have been the common denominator in all of these issues since we had George Floyd last summer, all the way through. Why do you think that is? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Like, yeah.
No one can hear my eyes rolling out of my sockets onto the floor.
Obviously, our listeners are probably not the problem here.
Well,
but you need to do a better job
yeah.
of telling your fucking racist uncle to shut the fuck up when he says something fucked up.
Yes. But also, I think our listeners need to be aware of the ways in which they uphold white supremacy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Set yourself straight. Set everything straight. Like, if you hear it, shut it down, but, like, within yourself. Like, if you
Absolutely.
Notice
yeah.
that you're getting defensive or deflective when someone's trying to tell you their story or that they're experiencing racism, like, fucking believe them.
Yeah,
like, 100%. Don't make it about you. And I'm saying this from personal experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's not just your racist uncle. It's you. It's me. Like, it's, yeah. I'm a black woman. Like,
yeah.
I do this shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. It's definitely easy to get defensive and want to deflect and be like, oh, but that's not what I was trying to say.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what doesn't you were matter. Trying to say. If somebody's upset by yeah. something you've said.
You stepped in it, apologize, and think about what you did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
yeah. We also need to call out the media
yeah.
for using these weak ass words against, you know, the murderer in Atlanta. I saw an article from Reuters saying that he was a churchgoer. Like, fuck all the way off. Fuck all the way off. Who benefits from seeing that? Why does anyone need to see that? Who thought that that was a good idea?
That's
yeah.
Wow.
Stop protecting white supremacists and white domestic terrorists and start protecting people of color and stop using this fucking racist, dehumanizing language and covering subjects that perpetuate stereotypes and otherness.
I'm so angry right now.
I know. I keep stumbling over my words because I just don't even... But then also, I think that we can all do a better job of protecting our neighbors and our communities and our Asian brothers and sisters. If you notice, there's been a lot of videos posted on social media lately of usually it's the aftermath of an attack on an Asian person. And it seems like every time I see one of these videos, it's always happening in a
broad
city,
daylight.
Like in broad daylight,
yeah,
out in the open, on the subway,
yeah.
on the sidewalk, mm-hmm. with a bunch of people around, and nobody did a fucking thing to stop it. Usually the people try and help after the fact, or somebody's just standing there with their phone filming it, but why is nobody stepping in and stopping this?
Yeah.
It's hard to say what you would do in that situation, but like, we need to do better. I think that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
We can all do better. All right. Well, my drink is not empty, but
no.
I need to finish all of it
in
one big sip.
Too busy raving like a lunatic.
I
had an outline that I didn't even look at after doing my part. I'm just like, rah!
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Tux Lorzol.
Stephanie Domingo.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn, on land belonging to the Lenape Nation. New episodes are released the first and third Monday of every month. Please note that we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. Full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop at beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We are on Patreon if anyone would love to show us some love and throw us some nickels to support the production of our show.